Welcome everybody to the Motive Podcast. I'm Shaden. I'm here with Bree, where we want to help you solve life's hardest problems and like the way you feel, rather than hating the way you feel, which is
which has something to do with today.
So, and we're not arrogant enough to say that we know how to solve all of life's hardest problems. However, we can at least try and tackle and do our best, right?
Right.
I'm sometimes arrogant enough. I'm sometimes
arrogant. We sometimes are a bad combination that way.
I need to start name dropping people. Not my clients, but people that, yeah, they'd be like, yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
So what are we doing today, Brie?
So today we want to talk about dealing with anger in ourselves. So we had a podcast, we rolled it out like a month or so ago, and it was how to deal with anger in other people. And we had some people comment back and they were like, wait, how do you deal with anger in yourself? So
I should name drop. I'll name drop. So my good friend Matt Malin. So he's got a twin Joe, and I grew up with these two awesome dudes. And Matt texted me after listening. He was literally, I think if I read it right, he was listening to it and got pulled over, and was like furious because the cop gave him a ticket for his tint in his windows. And he drives a Camaro, which if you're driving a Camaro, you gotta have it tinted. Like
sure.
You can't.
It's gotta look.
You can't
cool.
Have it like see through windows. And so he was like, dude, I was listening to your podcast hoping it'd help me with my anger, but it was for somebody else. So let's go with, the word dealing with is a good word. However, I think in order to deal with anything, you got to understand it.
Yeah. So again, how do you understand anger in yourself? That's uh-huh. better. Okay.
And I think, So anger's it's a doozy. Anger's an emotion I definitely know well. I definitely feel emotions passionately, and anger is one of them. So number one, if you struggle with anger, one thing I would make sure to look at is my go-to is connection. And what I mean by that is when I look at my own anger in my life, if there's kind of this chronicity to it where it just keeps happening and happening, I can look back and I can, if I'll stop and realize it, I can see that I've been disconnected mm-hmm. quite a bit, that I just haven't really connected with myself, with God, with people. And ultimately there's a loneliness that is unacknowledged.
Yeah.
And therefore anger kind of becomes this thing that occurs for me where, interestingly enough, it's like, can't you hear me? I want to be heard. Mm-hmm. I want to be understood, yet my anger pushes people away.
Gotcha.
And so
that makes sense.
You relate to that?
Yep. Do you think it's because you overwhelm yourself, or you don't take the time to sharpen your saw, as my husband puts it? So that's like grind, 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 you know, work, family, this, that, and you're not taking the time out for yourself.
Yeah,
so
probably.
I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be, yeah, in the realm of expectations, mm-hmm. for sure. And
of
when
what
not
makes
being
you
that.
Build up that anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then when something, if I have an expectation for it to be met, for something to be done, and then something interrupts it, mm-hmm. then it's easy to be angry at that thing
yeah.
that is interrupting it, which when that's a person and not a thing,
yeah.
we can really start hurting people
yeah.
in our relationships. And I'm so guilty of that, as many people are, but it's a thing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's number one tip I would give, is to check your loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is one we've talked about before. In fact, this podcast, the ADD podcast, got I had a lot of people texting me telling me how much they liked it. And it was, I think they liked it because it helped them, even if they didn't have ADD, they just were understanding things better. But anger can have a lot of connection to ADD.
Huh.
And
didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So anger and ADD go together pretty well, because ADD is, again, it's a dopamine deficiency. And so dopamine helps regulate the brain,
mm-hmm.
which means without it, your brain just kind of keeps going. It's like the gas pedal is pushed down and there's nothing that's really telling it to, or it doesn't have an ability to let off
yeah.
and hit the brakes. And so the Corvette engine's going and going and going. And which means that being in a moment, let's just put, like, if I use myself, if I'm in my home, and I have all my kids that are needing something, they're loud, they're, you know, mm-hmm. tattling on each other, they're hurting each
sure.
other, but, you know, the whole chaos of life. Then my brain can be going so fast that I'm not able to keep up with, I'm not able to like process at all.
Yeah.
And then, so anger becomes very beneficial. Number one, it gains control.
Mm-hmm.
It can scare people and it can gain control. And which I'm not saying these are good benefits. It's called selfish benefits.
Yeah.
And they are benefits. But number two, it releases endorphins and it releases adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And it, and it, what that does is actually soothes the brain.
Yeah. I was going to say, so it helps to bring that down.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It helps the brain to like chill out. And so I got it. When I went and had my brain scanned for ADD in California, I was asked so many times how I deal with rage. And if,
really?
If I get rage, if I get angry, and I was like, yeah, I get angry.
I get rage.
And I've had rage before for sure. And so, and they said, but what is it like after? And if anybody's honest with themselves, most of the time after, they will feel relief and they'll feel like calmed,
mm-hmm.
but then shame can set in too.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't mean that you didn't have like this calming effect of release.
Yeah.
And so the ADD brain, again, because it's so fast, it's interesting because anger kind of is a behavior that matches the acceleration of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if my brain's going super fast and I'm just like trying to stay chill, it's like this, they're in opposition to each other.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so it's easier sometimes to let the behavior match the flow of the brain,
mm-hmm.
which is not safe. It's yeah. not always good.
Yeah.
So when in therapy, it's great because I don't have to be, it's not anger. It's just focus.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's in a moment where I want things different, then it can get bad.
Huh.
So there's another aspect to look at. If you continually struggle with anger, you probably need to get yourself checked out to see if there's some ADD stuff going on.
Yeah. I think that, I was just thinking about this, and this is something relative to me sometimes, that having a brain injury, that's one of the stages of brain injuries, concussions, whatever, is anger.
Yep.
Which is really interesting that it's really hard.
Yeah.
You know? Because you don't know why you feel the way you feel and you can't really explain it, that you're just like, I just feel really mad, you
yeah.
know, because your brain's trying to heal and go through that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's bring this up. So understanding anger, you need to understand in some ways its best friend,
mm-hmm.
which if any of you don't know, it's in my opinion, anger's best friend is sarcasm. And so I've met a lot of people who say, I'm not angry. I'm not an angry person.
Yeah.
And they're right in some ways, but yeah. they might be very sarcastic.
And I see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then I think, yes, because I think of people that I think are maybe kind of angry people. And in their mind, they're just venting, ranting and raving and venting and, you know, and it comes out as very sarcastic.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they wouldn't say, well, even if I think in situations where if you stopped them and said, you know, why are you so mad? You know, they would say, well, I'm not mad. I'm just talking, you yeah. know, it's.
Well, and they would disagree because I would say it's true. Like sarcasm and anger are not they're not the same emotion, but they have the same effect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anger is mysterious. If I'm flipping out, nobody can really track that.
Yeah.
I'm not being honest. I'm just flipping out. I'm pushing people away. I'm staying a mystery. I'm disconnecting. I'm not being vulnerable. I'm just like letting my anger push people out.
Yeah.
Well, sarcasm does the same thing without the punch.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand. It's elusive. It's passive. It's not honest. It's not vulnerable. It's hiding just yeah. like anger is. And it doesn't allow people to really understand you.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say they're best friends, because they do the same thing. With different effects. We judge anger more harshly,
mm-hmm.
and sarcasm is much more accepted.
I don't like sarcasm.
I know, but I wish that there wasn't a double standard, because it's, and I don't, you know, like we all have it. My mom, she hates it more than anyone, which if she listened to the podcast, she'd actually be happy that I'm saying this. Mom, I love you. But sarcasm, yeah, it's there. And if you find yourself being really sarcastic with people, kind of lucid and that way, a lot of people will say it's just my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say it might be because you've been doing it for so long, like you've been hiding your true self for so long.
Yeah.
And I would challenge you to, for anyone who is angry a lot or is sarcastic a lot, to try to slow down,
mm-hmm.
and notice when it's happening and try to speak what's going on for you in that moment.
Yeah, because I think that's what I keep thinking about. I think when you're angry and when you're being sarcastic, it's in both of those moments, I tell my kids, it's like when they were little, I used to tell them, it's like speaking with knives, you know, rather than speaking with bubbles or whatever. And just to help them visualize that in either of those moments, when you're speaking out in anger or you're speaking sarcastically, you're hurting someone. It's just the sarcasm is like, oh, but I was just kidding.
Sarcasm's like,
it comes
with
an excuse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If I can say whatever I want and hurt your feelings, but if you can't take it as a joke, it's your problem. Where with anger, when you say it in anger, you're just saying it and you're saying it and you're mad. And that's when, you know, hurtful things come out. But I think that they're similar that way, that they're both saying it's both, you know, projecting hurtful feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people a lot of sarcastic people I'm not going to call them sarcastic people. People who use sarcasm a lot would often disagree that I'm not trying to hurt their feelings, but in all reality, it does.
Yeah,
it does. It hurts in a different way because it's disconnecting from the person. Did you hear what I said about glitter? I love what you said, like, anger's like with knives.
Yeah.
I hate glitter so bad. Anybody who likes glitter, like, come in and talk to me.
No, it's messy stuff.
I hate glitter so bad. And, like, sarcasm, it's like speaking with glitter. It sticks everywhere. I've hurt people badly, right, with sarcasm, where I assumed that I knew what was going on for them. I sarcastically made a gesture and... later on they came and said that was really hurtful, like I'm really self-conscious about that.
Oh yeah.
And we assumed that, oh no, we're good, man, we're good, like we're bros, and we don't know,
because you don't know if the other person agrees or they think it's a joke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's so anyway, we derail a little, but that's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. Important though, I think
it is.
So anything else for understanding emotions? Anger.
I would say to you, if I don't consider anger a secondary emotion, and you'll hear that a lot in research and literature, or just in like kind of self-help books, they'll say, well, anger is a secondary emotion, so what's really going on underneath?
Yeah.
I understand what they're saying in that we rarely feel one emotion ever at one time. Like, in other words, there's always, I call it a recipe of emotions. I don't like how secondary emotion discounts anger's like reality.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's normal. Like, anger is as real as it gets. However, I would say that if you are angry, it's so likely there are other emotions going on with it. It should be an indicator that there's other emotions happening.
You're frustrated or disappointed or...
Well, and especially grief. Anger and grief they're definitely tied together too. And grief is the sensation that something has been lost. And we talk about it far too much. Or, well, I don't know, we don't talk about it too much, but we talk about grief exclusively with death.
Yeah.
And we need to be better at talking about grief with every day we experience grief. We lose something we expected to happen.
Yeah.
And like your brain injury. Like, it's, of course, you could have some anger on top of that as well, because your life changed.
Yep.
And so you have to grieve that.
Yeah.
And so when my son's let me down because I expected him to do something and I get angry, that's grief. It's loss.
Yeah.
So some people that have never touched their own grief from things in the past, that would be my final answer, is that that's why the anger can be so strong for them, is because they haven't grieved things that need to be grieved, and they're actually afraid of grief. They're afraid of the emotion of grief.
Yeah. So makes sense.
When something happens that lets them down, that emotion kind of flirts with them and they say, nope, I'm just going to get angry.
Gotcha.
And that's where people call it like a secondary.
Gotcha.
If I call it that, big deal. I just don't want it to ever undermine the power of anger.
Yeah.
It's still very real.
It's funny. I did not think I was an angry person growing up, or, you know, I was always kind of just whatever, carefree, happy, until I had kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I remember when my oldest was little, and she kind of, you know, went from infant to walking to talking to, you know, 15 months old, 18 months old, you could have adult conversations with her. And I remember thinking, where did this emotion come from? This is foreign for me, you know, and I would get so angry. And that is something I've had to really learn to, you know, as I was thinking about this topic the other day, we kind of mentioned it. I thought, you know, I think dealing with anger in yourself takes an incredible amount of self-discipline, more so than almost anything else, in my opinion. That it takes long, dedicated, consistent work in yourself to get past that. You know, and I found things that helped me because, yeah, I just thought, gosh, Mike. And I remember when I had a couple kids and, you know, sitting there one day thinking, what in the heck am I doing? You know, I used to be such a fun, happy person, and I feel so angry a lot. So what am I going to do to get past that and to change that? You know, because I don't want my kids to grow up thinking, wow, our mom is
just angry all the time
and yells at us all the time. You know, and we're not yellers at our house now, but it's, and it's not like I'm perfect at that, but man, it's taken a lot of years just to school that emotion to where I feel like I'm more in control.
Yeah.
And it doesn't control me, you know?
So come on, everybody's waiting to hear the how. How'd you do that?
Well, like, if you're religious, I read my scriptures every night. That for me
grounded that way
was my saving grace. You know, that's what I delved into, and that's been the thing I do. You know,
so what
did
that?
A lot of personal reflection too, though. You know,
but hold on, what did scriptures do? Because it's truth. If you consider scriptures truth and examples of people that are writing them.
Yeah, and it was more than, there was also a couple of women. This was when blogs were a little bit more popular. There were a couple moms who had blogs that I looked up to and, you know, admired the way they parented their kids. And so I also made an effort every day to look at their blog. Because I think when you're consistently thinking about something, it's in the front of your mind, then you're reminded about, you're going to conscientiously do that, you know? So whether that's reading books, so it was more than just reading my scriptures, but, you know, a lot of prayer and a lot of reading books and reading, you know, and this can be with anything. It doesn't have anything necessarily to do with parenting, but, you know, I took that topic and really just dove into it, I guess. You know, I read a lot of books. I read a lot of blogs from people who were positive and had a lot of good advice on how to stay that way.
Yeah.
And then took that time every night to have that self-reflection and spiritual peace and reading my scriptures and, you know, that time to really just detox for me. And that's just been, and I notice when I'm not doing those things that, that's when I tend to sometimes things like that flare up and I'm like, okay, it's time to, what's going on? You know, what am I not doing? That's why I asked you, you know, do you feel like it's when you're overwhelmed and not doing things to sharpen your saw or whatever it be, you know, that I think sometimes that's when we, that comes out and takes control a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
I think too, for me, the, just being candid too, the lacking acceptance for what really is probably my biggest problem when it comes to this area in my life. And I would imagine for a lot of people, it is the same, where if my kid is repeatedly doing something, or if anyone in my life is repeatedly doing something, and I continue to expect them to be better.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
And having unrealistic expectations of other people's behavior.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. Yeah.
And some people could argue back and be like, so you tell me I'm not supposed to expect like just the minimum? Like, I just want my kid to be respectful, or I want them to treat me well. And I'd say, no, you can expect it. But at the same time, what evidence do you have that suggests that they are that way?
Yeah.
That you should expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And most people can answer, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't really have, I mean, I deal with like mother-in-laws, women who marry the son of the woman, and that mother-in-law like has it out for that. We need to do a podcast on that, by the way, big time.
We should. That's not something I understand.
And they'll say, why is she so, like, she does this, and I'm so frustrated, and it always has to come up, is just, what evidence do you have that would suggest that she's different?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, none. And I'd say, so the hard part is for you to accept the fact that they are just that way.
Yeah.
And to try to keep them human in your mind instead of like an enemy and like a someone you hate.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And we can end up hating our kids.
Yeah.
And resenting them, even though we love them. We can definitely become
resentful. I think that's a huge problem.
And hateful even.
So I just had it went out. Never mind. I had a thought about, okay. So sorry. This is a question I have real quick before we end is, do you agree with the statement that other people cannot make you angry?
No.
No.
I know you do. Make is a hard word.
I think that people can do things that can cause you to be upset. And this is where I guess there's underlying emotions. But yeah, what do you think about that?
Do I think anger is a choice? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
The time between a trigger and a reaction is where choice can almost be debatable.
Yeah.
Depending on how amped up you are every day and how rigid you are. Like,
sure. Because sometimes there's no, it just happens.
Yeah. Almost like an addiction. Mm-hmm. Like someone could say, like, well, do they have a choice not to do heroin? Well, they used to.
Sure.
And now that choice has pretty much been diminished between trigger and relapse every time or in using. So I believe we can highly influence people to the point of what it seems like control, even though control really can never be taken.
Yeah.
It can still be that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I do. I still would have to believe in the notion, obviously, that it is our decision.
Mm-hmm.
But that decision has a lot to do with our perspective.
Yeah.
And when we're in the thick of things, our perspective is like 2 feet
yeah.
in front of us. And yeah. having like this 10,000 foot perspective is when I'm my calmest.
Sure.
When I can just see my kids is just accept them and accept people and just, is this where they're at?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's chill. And it's good. That's tough.
That is tough.
That's a good question. So I just want to say one last thing, which would be, I think what you did too in finding your research and reading blogs and studying scriptures and connecting to God, like what that does is it, there's a lot of shame around anger,
yeah.
and less shame around sarcasm. And so anger to me, I just want everybody to know that all emotion has to come from character.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes from. And so the existence of anger in your life shows how much you care. We've said this before and I'll say it again. No one ever felt anger about anything that they didn't care about.
Yeah.
And that's known to God. That's known to me. That's known to people that get it. And I just want you to know, anybody who's listening, that your anger doesn't define you
in its
straightforward way, but it does define you for your character.
Yeah.
Which if you were never angry about anything, I would actually be kind of scared.
Yeah.
It just, what we do with that anger is obviously everything.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this helps a little bit to understand it, to give you a couple steps of what to do with it. And we'll do more with it because anger is a big topic. So we'll do another podcast on it at some point.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up today, I wanted to read one of our reviews.
Cool.
Again, always, we love reviews and we appreciate your rating. So this one is from HW Junkie 1009. It says, I literally feel motivated after every episode I listen to. Even topics I start out thinking, not sure this applies to me, leave me feeling so inspired and wanting to be better. Honestly, good help that many people could benefit from digesting. So
awesome.
Thank you for the good review. We appreciate it. We always love hearing from people and hopefully, you'll feel inclined. I think leaving reviews is like this hard, weird world.
Do you?
I really do. But just know, we love your reviews, so we would love to hear them.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.